The following is part one of a very special reaching out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. On March 21st, at the headquarters of Local 237, the Teamsters honored some very special women. Here are some highlights from that event.
I'd like to start by thanking all of you for taking time out to join us here today. We have with us honorees, their families and friends, elected officials, and Local 237 members, all coming together to recognize the contributions of women in our society. This gathering is extra special because we are paying tribute to an extra special woman, Marie Colvin. Across the nation, there will be award luncheons, essay contests, and parades to mark the accomplishments of women in America. But I think that few will surpass the amount of pride, gratitude, and awe of this celebration. Marie Colvin is an assassinated war correspondent. Marie was also a daughter, a sister, an aunt who walked the halls of this building. Marie rode in these elevators. She ate donuts from the donut shop across the street. She spoke to many people, and some that are in this room today. Marie Colvin was a Teamster, and although none of us could ever wear her shoes, at least for a while, she walked among us. Marie was murdered in Syria to silence her. She wrote about innocent women and children caught in the crossfire of civil war. She wanted the world to care as much as she did, and she lost her life trying to do this. She was reporting from a country that did not want the true story of suffering to come out. She was in a country that called the media the enemy of the people. A lot of that is happening right here in our country today. Many try to hide their hatred as a call for nationalism. Hate mongers have spewed this poison for ages, and in some unexpected places. A crowd gathered, 20,000 rallied in Madison Square Garden in February 1939 to denounce the press, labor unions as controlled by the Jews, and we all know where that went, World War II. Journalists like Marie Colvin tried to set the record straight. All too often, they paid with their lives. So today, we honor a courageous woman, one of our own, who tried to do the right thing for people she didn't even know. In Marie's spirit, we are also honoring several women who were instrumental in helping others simply because it was the right thing to do. In March 2010, I sued the city on behalf of our 5,000 school safety agents, 70% of whom are women, African Americans, and Latinas. Many were single mothers, and their salary was about $7,000 less than their counterparts with similar titles, working in the same city, in different city agencies, but doing the same work. Most of those agencies employed men. Some call this a coincidence. I call it discrimination. School safety agents have a tough job to do. They help protect other people's children. All they want to do is put food on the table. School safety agents are important to our society. I called a meeting at Local 237. I told them we needed some volunteers to sign papers to be lead plaintiffs. Of the 25 women that came to that meeting, 22 left. Three stayed. The late Corinthia Andrews, Bernice Christopher, and Patricia Williams. And for 4 years, these three gave testimony after testimony. They refused to settle anything that did not include retirees. They took days off from work, and they took time from being with their families. They came to many of our rallies, and now I have to mention something about that. Those rallies at times felt pretty much alone. Yes, we had the support from several elected officials, but our allies were few and far between. So for us, it boiled down to two constant people. Hazel Dukes, president of the New York State NAACP, and Sonia Osorio, president of the New York City chapter of NOW, National Organization of Women. That's why we are also honoring them today. I remember the day of the judge's final ruling. Corinthians, Bernice, and Pat went to that court and knelt in prayer. And thanks to them, Hazel and Sonia, an historic settlement was reached. Clearly, Local 237 can boast of having many members whose actions are a testament to the best instincts of humanity. So for us, it was easy to identify honorees for Women's History Month. We are especially blessed to have among us our own members and our friends, women who care about others and want everyone else to care too. That's who we are. That's their legacy, and we take pride in knowing them. Thank you. We have the Lieutenant Governor of New York State with us, and I'm going to let her come up and speak because she has to catch a plane.
I could not miss this opportunity, Greg. It's your invitation. And I've been traveling a little bit today, Buffalo and Suffolk County already, and I have to get back on a flight shortly. So otherwise, I wanted to stay here if I could to honor the incredible individuals who you celebrate today. And first of all, to the family and friends of Marie, thank you for this journey and for reminding us that she started her career right in this building and was supported by a lot of good men, Joe in particular, who elevated her. But, you know, you can take the girl out of the union. You can't take the union out of the girl. And I believe that's why she was such a fighter and viewed her mission in life to put a spotlight on people who are suffering in other parts of our world. And that is really what union members do. We stand up and fight for people. We are the voice of the voiceless. And that's what Marie dedicated her life to. And I thank you to everyone here at Local 237 for the life you gave her and the inspiration you gave her as she went out and challenged the status quo and helped individuals who otherwise did not have that support, but also to honor some of my closest friends in this business and in this world, Hazel Dukes and Gail Brewer. I am so delighted to be able to be here with both of you here today. And I know you're being recognized as part of Women's History Month. My good friend Scott Stringer is here as well. It's not Man's History Month, so I can't say anything about, you know, but we'll put some like little baby blue M&Ms out and celebrate the men some other time. But to the many people being celebrated here today, I am here briefly to tell you what this means to me. Today we celebrate courage because you think about the women we honor today, but also the fact that we in New York, as the birthplace of the women's rights movement in our state, no other, back in 1848, women of great courage, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Shirley Chisholm, Gloria Steinem, Geraldine Ferraro, Hillary Clinton, the fact that the Supreme Court justices sitting there today, the women, are from New York State. That is who we are. We create leaders here. But with that comes the moral responsibility to continue furthering women and propelling them ahead. So we are looking at issues in the state of New York through the intersection of gender and race and sexual identity and putting it all together and saying what we can do with that torch that's been passed to us, started by our foremothers a century and a half ago. We need to do something important this year. We need to pass the Equal Rights Amendment in the state of New York to guarantee equality for all women once and for all. And I need labor behind me. I need labor to stand with the women of this state as we continue to fight for our rights. So thank you, everyone, for this opportunity just to say hello. I love you all. And I will also close by saying I am an elected official because of labor. I am elected official because of labor. My grandpa and my dad were steelworkers in Buffalo. And I have steel running through my veins, so it's made me tough enough to handle this business. And there's no way I would have made it to Congress in the most Republican district in the state of New York. If labor didn't stand with me, and I will tell you, my friends from the Teamsters were among the first. And I will go to my grave with a debt of gratitude for people who believed in me when others did not. And I will continue to hopefully repay my respect throughout the rest of my life and continue to stand with the men and women that you represent. And to the school safety officers, I want to thank all of you for putting your lives on the line to protect our children. And Greg, thank you for the incredible work you did to make sure that we ensured them equality and justice that they deserve long overdue. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
We also have the pleasure of having our New York City Comptroller, Scott Stringer, with us, and he's going to come and give us a few words.
We just acknowledge that Gregory Floyd's one of the best union leaders in New York City. I just wanted to briefly come by, just say a couple things. This is a very, very important award from the Teamsters in honor of an amazing woman, somebody who did something that, quite frankly, most of us in this room couldn't even contemplate. And she did the ultimate sacrifice for the betterment of humanity. And it's sort of the job of the union to pick people who can reflect that honor. And let's face it, Sonia Sario and Hazel Dukes have been on the front lines of so many battles to empower people of color, to empower women, and they always show up to do the right thing. And then when they show up, then everyone else starts to follow. So let's give them a big round of applause. But I also want to thank school safety. You know, they just don't show up to work. They show up to do battle protecting our kids' lives. Right? And they're doing battle with a truck of 2 tons with a guy behind that wheel that shouldn't be behind that wheel, speeding, breaking all red lights. And they are not watching out for themselves. They are watching for the 5-year-old, the 7-year-old, the 13-year-old. And it's a miracle in this city every day they go home. So when someone says pay equity for the women who protect our children, thank you, Greg Floyd. This was the right thing to do. So with that said, let me just assure all of you, I've got the money in the bank. The pensions are doing fine. Greg Floyd calls me every other month about retirees, and he will never stop. But to the women here today, you have given this city everything you've got. We should at least be able to do the right thing by all of you, and we'll keep doing it. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And now, as mentioned, we also have the Manhattan Borough President, who is a champion for the people. She has never changed with whatever position she held. She's still that organizer. She's still that advocate. Gail Brewer.
So good morning, and thank you very much. For me, this is a very big honor. First of all, I do love Women's History Month. Marie Colvin is another example. We cannot forget our history. So I am embarrassed, Mr. Wonderful President Floyd, that I didn't know she was a member of the Teamsters. I knew because I read every single article about her in all the press, even when before she was horribly murdered, but I also just followed her on all of her stories because she was an amazing war correspondent. Every step of the way, I was like, this is somebody to follow. So again, for the history books, something very, very personal for New York, that she's a New Yorker and that she walked these halls. And then she went on not only to be a journalist, but a brilliant journalist who corresponded like none other. So it is an amazing fact to be here today to know that she was in this room. So I am honored to be here today.
Now, the next person I'm going to bring to the podium is the former director of education, who is now the president of the Workers' Consortium for Education here in New York City, Joe McDermott.
I was here when Fred Dunn retired. I was here when Gray Lewis was memorialized. But I was here 38 years ago, and the room was filled with exterminators, tradesmen, foremen of caretakers, all of whom wanted to become assistant supers. Over in this corner, there was a crowd of them, teams of members, surrounding Marie Colvin, asking her questions because they knew she had the answers. She had been a Teamster for a year by then. She was a journalist major at Yale, and she wanted to be a journalist in New York City. Two of her family friends, the Van Ripers, called me and said, "Do you have a job open for a journalist?" And I was the editor of the newspaper, but I was very bad at it. I interviewed her, and she was smart, and she was beautiful, and funny. That afternoon, I got a call from Barry Feinstein. "You hired a tomato from Yale to edit my member's newspaper?" 3 months later, it was different. He would call and say, "Get me Marie." She turned the News and Views into a member's mirror, workers, what their life was about. She couldn't stay. She went across the river to UPI and then to Washington. Then she went to UPI London. And there, a war correspondent, a leap into an unimaginable world of cruelty and violence. She interviewed Gaddafi, and she went from UPI to the London Times, to the Murdochs, who were good family to Marie, and still, to the very end. And then she became professional, reporting on violence and mayhem and pain, and she had a baptism of violence in Beirut. There was a road called the Path of Death, and on one side were the Amil snipers, and on the other side, the PLO snipers. She bribed somebody to get her into one of the camps and watched as women would have to run down this road to get food. And a woman got shot 3 times. Brave people came and dragged her in. They put her on whatever it's called, the hospital operating table. And a nurse came and said, "Marie, she wants to talk to you." And she was dying. And Marie went over and she said, "I want you to report and tell the world what this is all about." And thereafter, she was a warrior without troops. She was a woman who understood, being in a man's world, that had to. Her obligation, her quest. Maybe she saw that we had an obligation to help our members and didn't stop. But she took on a life as an obligation and a quest. She didn't have a death wish. She had an obligation. She had a quest. And she went to Syria, to Homs, H-O-M-S, a bombed-out town, bombed by the terrible dictator of Syria. She had to let the world know that this man was bombing his own people. And she went to this bombed house, and the killer of Syria bombed the house with Marie in it. And so, Greg Floyd, impresario par excellence, Phyllis Schlafly, "You're doing the right thing for honoring Marie Colvin, Women's History Month." And what a woman. She always was a woman in a man's world. She was known to wear perla under her fatigues. You're honoring her at a time when we are in need of heroes. And we know in a decade, children will be reading about her. Thank you. I can only imagine the fear that Kat had for so many of these episodes. Kat, Catherine Colvin, Marie's sister.
Thanks, everybody. I'll keep this short. It's actually a really emotional hearing. All the stories about Marie and how much the Teamsters cared about her. I really can't tell you how incredibly proud my family is to receive this recognition on behalf of Marie and how proud Marie always was to be a Teamster. Her career as a journalist was born here. She brought her whole self to this job, and the Teamsters gave her the freedom and really empowered her to write about what she thought was important, which was people. And the union is made up of people. It's made up of you. She never lost that. You know, the people struggling in New York were so important to her. The Teamster struggles were so important to her. She felt it herself. You know, we also come from a union family. So we were raised with the understanding of how much more we can do together than any one of us can do separately. And she brought that here and I think learned so much from the Teamsters. And it set her off on a career where she really never lost that vision of what was important. She always cared about people and about people struggling and about the challenges they were facing. And she didn't make a distinction between the, you know, children being killed in a war zone or the children not having enough, you know, food here in New York or my children. I have 3 kids and Marie often saw the faces of my children in, you know, the victims of war that she was covering. But Marie's view of the world really started here with the Teamsters. She was always proud to be a Teamster. As Joe said, she used to brag about it. And I just appreciate so much the recognition that you've given her today. I hope that she's as inspiring to all of you as she always has been to me. Thank you.
Now I'm going to present the Marie Colvin Award to Hazel Dukes, president of the New York State NAACP, for constant advocation for our women in school safety.
Good morning. Good morning. I have had the honor and privilege to receive awards across the state and the world. I am not worthy of this award. To sit here and hear about Marie Colvin, and last week to have the opportunity to be with the First Lady to honor the stature of women that is going into the five boroughs, the things that I've done is only a drop in the ripple of water. When President Greg Floyd called me about this case, I said, yes, I'll be there. He's right. Some of the rallies, it was six, sometime it was 10, sometime it was 15 of us. People was afraid of the power structure. I've never been afraid. I am a daughter of a Pullman porter. I met A. Philip Randolph when I was 14 years of age. So union is in my DNA because they've always fought for the rights. I would have never been able to say I was born in a middle-class family and had the opportunity to go to college, had an opportunity for a better life if it wasn't for these women and men whose shoulders we stand on. Every morning, I live at 135th between Lenox and 5th. We have three schools. In 175, I see kids walking across the street with their iPhones, not looking, trucks turning. Safety guard out there giving them real hell about the children. She's about this high. And she looks up at me and she said, I said, stop! I watch her as I go into the bank. You guys, I was just saying I was at a meeting Monday at Abyssinia. Five high schools converge at the same time. School guards save lives, as Jackie Rowe Adams said. It could have been a loss of life during that bailout. But today, President Floyd and members of Local 237, thank you so much. I hope one of my mottos, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain. Thank you.
Bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I sat quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound, like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down, but I got up. Hey, get ready, cause I've had enough. You see our voice, you hear it now. I've got the eye of the tiger, I'm fire, heading through the fire, cause I am a champion.
Like I'm at the Super Bowl.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.